Grace to you and peace from him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to God. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We pray. Lord Jesus, give us to drink of the water which springs to everlasting life. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of the Lamb who was slain and has begun his reign, dear fellow pilgrims, what is the difference between an oasis and a mirage? I think we all can agree an oasis is something real, and a mirage is an illusion. We read our first verses of our text. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Is this a mirage? Is this an illusion? Or is this a vision? Yes, a vision, but not a mirage. This is something very real. However, when the Spirit speaks in vision, we need to make distinctions about symbols and substance. But even when he speaks in symbols, we should still see something very real being indicated. The invitation that's going to be extended in our text is very real and it's very now. As we've been considering the last 3 weeks, heaven is not clouds or harps. It's defined not by where we go, but by how we exist. It's not something far off, it's something quite near. Right here, right now. These final 3 chapters of Revelation speak of a time which is both now and also not yet. At times, the book of Revelation will speak of both things at the same time. Communion with God is something we've received right now by faith, and yet something that's not quite full. It's not yet. It's something reserved for its fullness in the new creation as we go on with our text. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is what we thirst for. To behold our beloved God face to face. When you reach the new creation, you will see God as he is. The curse will be no more, and you will commune with him in a worship that's not limited or interrupted by the distractions of this world. It is without end that we serve him, and it is without end that we enjoy it. The invitation to this comes right now. We continue with the rest of our text. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The wilderness is full of mirages. We face a worldwide epidemic. People the world over are dehydrated, and they're searching to quench that thirst in the midst of mirages. I recently had someone invite me to such a mirage. The statement was, religions are all part of the same thing. We all worship the same God. Is that true? What if all religions were basically equivalent? They were all different paths that in one way or another led to the water of life. If this is true, then the book of Revelation has become a mess of contradictions for us. If this is true, then the mirage is not out there, but it's in here. As Paul says, if Christ has not risen, then we of all men are the most pathetic. If this is true, then you don't need Christ, and you don't need the invitation which comes strictly from the bride and the Spirit. The Spirit can be found anywhere, in any Muhammad, in any works, in any name, in any means you make up to gain heaven. We turn to verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus speaks as God because he is God. He is not one among many. He is the first and the last. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. What are the wages that we receive? What have we earned? We stand before the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is there at the beginning, the one who is there at your birth and has been with you every step of the way. He saw us when we dishonored our parents or superiors, when we were angry that they said we couldn't do something, or when we rebelled because we shouldn't. He was there when we dishonored the government, whether by speeding or running a red light, speaking bad about elected officials that have been appointed by God, or whatever it might be. He was there when we treated that other person poorly, whether it was speaking badly about somebody behind their back, or a refusal to forgive someone who has wronged us, or returning evil for evil. He was there. Yes, we do thirst. But we don't thirst like the world thirsts. We thirst for something good, something real, something righteous, because we see our sins and the mirages that have led us away. We thirst because we recognize that just like everyone else, we've been distracted and our service and worship with God has been interrupted by sin. The time is at hand, the angel says. There's no reason to delay. The time to drown the old man is always now. It's always today, it's always tomorrow, and it's always the next day. The time to hear the invitation is something we long for now. To come into the presence of the Spirit and the Bride is the reason why you're here today. Verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. In the book of Revelation and other references in Scripture refer to the bride. It's speaking of the assembly of believers. Your relationship with Christ is pictured as a marriage where the two have become one eternally in a heavenly way. And as we considered last week, it is the bride, the Lamb's wife, which comes down from heaven to the new creation, where the believers are redeemed and given everlasting life. From the midst of the church, the Spirit is crying out, come, for here is where the water of life is found. Picture this heavenly vision, a river flowing out from the throne. It is pure, doesn't need a water softener, it is not corrupted by metallics or pollutants. There is nothing sinful in it. It is the source of life. What makes us think that we are going to have access to such a precious gift? We thirst. The wages of sin is death. That is why God has given us the free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Take freely, the Spirit says, without cost. There's no condition to your beginning, and there's no debt to your end. No upfront payment. From beginning to end, Jesus has given us something free and something perfect. He has accomplished the forgiveness of all your sins by his perfect works in life and his sacrifice in death. The river is alive with his resurrection. As Jesus himself said in John chapter 4, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. We see this river proceeding from the throne, as it says, from the Lamb and from God. We say it in the Nicene Creed. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. The Spirit comes forth from the throne, flowing to us. Begins in heaven, but we cannot limit it to the new creation, and we cannot limit it to the next life. For the call is to drink now. Somehow, it has to get to us here in this world, in these mortal bodies, in this fallen state. In the midst of the river grows a tree which brings forth life and fruit. It bore 12 fruits every month. That number 12 is used throughout the book of Revelation to speak of the church. Symbolic of the assembly of all believers. That is where the fruit is produced. In the midst of the church where the Spirit dwells and where word and sacrament are being given. For this is God's means of bridging the gap between the throne in heaven and where you are on earth in your walk of life. It is the means of grace. Baptism, which washes away our sins and cleanses us. The Lord's Supper, which continually gives Christ to us, and the Word, which speaks and guides our heart. This is where the tree is rooted, the water of life, producing fruit every month. How can this be? When we look at our life, we rarely see fruit being produced constantly. It's quite the opposite. Sin more likely seems to be produced constantly. And yet, remember how the fruits are produced. Remember what the work of the Spirit is. It is to forgive your sins and to turn you to new life in Christ. As you come to the means of grace, you're receiving that motivation now for new fruit. The bad fruit are cast away and your sins are forgiven, so that righteousness is yours, declared not guilty. It is an attitude of repentance and faith that characterizes you, that you hate sin and that you don't want anything to do with what the devil wants you to do. We read it in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, and in his instruction he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." This is the oasis where fruit comes forth in your life, rooted in Christ. It is your status which has been declared righteous, and there's nothing left but more righteousness to come forth. "He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." That's the status we bring to us to Judgment Day, the status of righteous. So how should we view those words? "My reward is with me to give to each according to his work." Haven't we just said that we're saved by grace and forgiveness? When Christ points to Judgment Day, the declaration has already been given. He separates the sheep from the goat. And then finally, he reveals the evidence of faith, the evidence seen in works done in Christ's name. He points to your works, even those you're not aware of, as the reason why we know you are a believer. These are the works of the Spirit. As it says in Galatians, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we have been made alive by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." This is the walk of faith, which seeks to obey our parents, which honors our government, even when we don't agree with them or their rules. This is the fruit which raises our children to love the Word of God, which serves our neighbors by forgiving those who have wronged us, righting when we have wronged somebody else, and always speaks in a way that helps and is a friend to others. Nothing could be more dear to us than this tree of life. Nothing could be a greater treasure to protect and care for. Again, let's use the analogy of a water shortage. If your community had the only source of good and pure water in all the state, wouldn't you protect it? Let's say someone had come with the intent of corrupting that one and only source of good water, to pollute it. Would you not guard it with your life for the sake of your family, for your community? As Christians, we have been entrusted with the one and only oasis in a world of drought. "Do not seal up the prophecy of this book," the angel says. Let us drink of this again and again, not shying away from teaching the truth revealed in the Word, not adding, not subtracting, but treasuring it. Do not seal it up, let it be heard. What is the difference between an oasis and a mirage? An oasis is real, a mirage is an illusion. This is no mirage. And yet, it's really not the fullness of the oasis. We drink of the water of life in this world, and yet we get thirsty again. This is why we long for the final oasis, where soul and body will be joined to God face to face, to receive the blessings of the morning star and His glory, where the curse will be no more. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.